Blog Talk Radio.
Ministries, and we are breaking the yokes of bondage. Again, I want to say welcome to the show, those of you that are hearing this and those of you that will listen to it later. I am your host, Dr. Maria Carey. I am the president and CEO of Amazing Grace Ministries, and certainly I want to thank God for and give honor to my co-host, evangelist, missionary Terry Rogers. So let's begin, shall we? So we want to say that, got distracted. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercies. God, guide and lead us in this endeavor, Father God. Give us what to say and how to say it, Father God. Move mightily in the name of Jesus. We bind all distractions. We bind Satan right now in the name of Jesus. God, you have your perfect will and your way in our lives, Father God. You do what's needed, Father God, and give a word, God, to your people that's mighty, that's powerful. In Jesus' name we pray. And God, hide me behind the cross. In Jesus' name I pray. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I want to say that we didn't have our School of Ministry on this Thursday, and of course I'm giving you the announcements right now, then we're going to go into our lesson. We will be giving a lesson on this Thursday at 6:30, and certainly I'll give you the information maybe Wednesday or so, or send it a blast out for those of you that want to listen, that can listen to that lesson. Basically, the focus is on teaching and educating and helping in terms of our mental health, our mental stability, mental wellness, and just how to be whole in a broken world. That's the focus. So, and then, of course, tomorrow is Father's Day. I want to wish all the fathers a happy Father's Day. May the Lord continue to bless you and certainly enjoy your day. And we just had a celebration, of course, because of the upheaval and the uprising and the unrest of African Americans being killed by police officers. Certainly there was a celebration and a focus on the news, on the televisions, and of course various communities were celebrating Juneteenth Day, which is a day when Texas actually freed the slaves. And certainly even though Abraham Lincoln freed them, signed the Emancipation Proclamation in 1863, it still took two more years for the society to actually let our people go. And if we see today's time, we see that there still continues to be a struggle. We still continue to struggle for equality. But the Lord hears us, and certainly he is providing justice and will provide justice. You know, we as African Americans have always leaned on the Lord, and we must continue to lean on the Lord for our substance, for our strength, because he has always made a way out of no way. And if we look back over our lives and we think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for us, we can cry out, Lord, I thank you. Lord, I worship you. Lord, I magnify you, because certainly you have been good to me. So that leads us into our lesson today. We are going to hear a word for the church, a word from the Lord. We have a new exciting lesson this series. We have been talking about the fruits of the Spirit. And I thought that I was going to be able to do two fruits at a time, but saints of the Most High God, that has not been the case. And I'm not even going to try to do it today. I'm just going to deal with one and just give you a little feedback of the one I dealt with on last week. Certainly, we started out giving you an overview of the fruits, and now we're breaking it down. We started out with love. Last week, we talked about joy. And this week, we're going to get into peace. So let's get into the word. Galatians 5. This word is coming from Galatians 5, verses 21 through 23. And it reads, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and such like, of that which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And I could just start out with verse 22, but we want to make a difference. We want to give just a difference of the fruits versus those other things that are not fruits. So here are the fruits. But the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such thing there is no law. And, of course, we're dealing with peace, so the scripture, other scriptures in this lesson focus, we are Psalms 29 and 11. And this is the New Living Translation. It reads, "The Lord gives his people strength, and the Lord blesses them with peace." You know, this goes into the segment. It goes into what we're dealing with now. There is an uneasiness in the land. There are people in the street protesting. There are churches on the battlefield. And white society is beginning to take a look. But some of them don't want to take a look. Matter of fact, they're very angry. What's going on? And it's funny. You see the injustice and how long it's prolonged. But you know that's ingrained. That's systemic racism, as they so call it. But I'm not here to do that. That's on Thursday nights. Let's move on with the lesson. So I've given you some definitions. The title of this lesson today is The Manifestation of Peace in the Fruit. So we did some definitions, and I'm going to give it to you again. The definition of manifestation is an event, action, or object that clearly shows or embodies something, especially a theory or an abstract idea. It's also an action or fact, showing an abstract idea. So basically, it's also showing some of the synonyms. Okay, Satan, we bind my tongue. Open up, Lord, loose my tongue, and display some of these are words that can be emplaced or also used to give you a definition of what manifestation is. So display, demonstrate, showing, exhibit, presentation, so expression. So all those are synonyms for the manifestation. So also it's an appearance of a ghost or a spirit. And I give you that definition because there is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. This is the fruits of the Spirit. So meaning that there is a manifestation in us of these qualities. And God, the appearance of the Holy Ghost, works through us to generate those qualities. Praise the Lord. So then we look at the definition of peace, and I believe I gave it to you last week, but we couldn't get to it, so I'm going to give it to you again. It is the state of tranquil or tranquility, or quietness, freedom from civil disturbance, a state of security or order within a community provided by provided for by law or customs. And these are some of the definitions. Of course, if we want to use an example now of no peace in society right now, the protesters that are out on the street, they are protesting, and because they're protesting, you get unrest. There is no peace in the land because of the injustices that have been done. So you begin to see what peace is. It's the state of tranquilness. It's free. It's a calmness. It's free from hostilities. So it's freedom from disquieting or oppressive thoughts or emotion. So that means even in our own bodies, even in us, you know, we're warring with our minds. We're anxious. Ooh, I'm moving forward in my topic. Okay, so we get an understanding of the definition of peace. Now, On last week, we talked about joy. We gave the fruits of the spirit of joy. We gave the definition. We said that the Bible says that joy is a gift to those who belong to Jesus, is given to us by God. We talked about being rejoicing and being glad before the Lord, Psalm 68:3. We gave some definitions of the definition of joy, the emotion of well-being, delight. And then we gave some contrasts, because when we look at the fruits of the Spirit, and I gave you verse 21, and then I segmented or talked about verse 22, because it is one versus the other. So last week we talked about joy versus sadness, depression and such, being extremely sad, and we talked about what is joy? Gave you some answers of it in terms of the manifestation of joy from the fruits of the Spirit. We talked about joy of deliverance, joy of salvation, joy of spiritual maturity, joy of the presence of God, and what is the joy of the Lord. And we know the joy of the Lord is our strength. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, when we push into joy, you know, the enemy hits us with various situations, various things that will cause us to be sad, that will call us to doubt, that will call us to be fearful. And I'm hitting some other fruits, but we have those encounters. But when we think of the joy of the Lord is our strength, when we push in to give God his due, when we lift up our hands and worship, then the joy of the Lord is our strength. So that was last week. So let's get into this lesson, y'all. And that is the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and that is peace. Now, peace is a fruit of the Spirit. It differs from peace as a gift of God, and peace for tasks to work. It indicates conditions. It's a state of mind, a style of life that one who, through efforts of vigilance, has obtained certain interior personifications. We've able to just be at ease from anxiety. Now, the fruit of the Spirit of peace also provides that inner peace. What you're saying, Dr. King, with all that paragraph? All I'm saying is, it's an inner peace. It's a peace of mind, a contentment found by living God's way, hallelujah, even in a less than perfect society. Again, society is in an uproar. And I keep going back to this, I don't know why, but it's the state of affairs that we're living in. We started out with coronavirus, and if we look at and we see the situations that African Americans are living right now, we can look at you would say that there is no peace but God. So when we look at peace, when we look at living in a society where there is civil unrest, but yet we're looking at the peace of God, you know, which passes all understanding, hallelujah, and I'm going to get to that scripture as well. So when we look at peace versus anxiety, now, there is a difference. There is a difference between walking in peace, that state of mind, being tranquil, so there's a difference. Now, when we get to anxiety, let's define what anxiety is. Anxiety is the feeling of worry, nervousness, unease. Typically about an immediate event or something with an uncertain outcome. So we don't know what tomorrow holds. Worrying, concerns, apprehension, uneasiness, fearfulness, fear, disquiet, disturbance. So you can see the words that I could substitute for anxiety. Mm-hmm. And when we get into mental health, there is a psychiatric disorder, PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, acute stress or disorder. And those events usually happen because of somebody has have been impacted by trauma. Okay, but again, that's not one of this lesson. I just want to give you a definition. But then we get all those definitions, but the word, what does the word say? I want to point out Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, saith the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. When we look at peace and when we look at the plans and the hope, what God has for us, and when we see in Romans 12:18, when Paul exhorts, if possible, so far as depend on you, be at peace with all men. What a perfect example of our role in the fruits of the Spirit mentioned in Galatians. We are to submit our wills to God, leading our actions to God's word. But the actual results are up to Him. Only God creates peace through the work of the Holy Spirit, especially that peace that is mentioned in Galatians. Now, the thing about that peace, we are born at war. At birth, we come into a fallen world. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So in essence, when we come out of the womb, we come into a world of sin, and we have been shapen in iniquity and formed because of Adam and Eve. So because of the fact that sin is here, that this is the fallen world, and of course we see the fruits as we go out the door, as we turn on the TV, we can see the fruits of sin. Because when we look at the misjustice or injustice of a people by another people, it is because of sin. But thanks be to God that gives us the victory. Now, I read Psalms 29:11, but I'm going to read it again. It says, the Lord gives his people strength. The Lord blesses them with peace. Then we go to Psalms 119:165. I love this verse, y'all. It says, those who love your instructions have great peace and do not stumble. What does that mean? It means the word of God, when we apply it, when we put it in our hearts, when we think on it day and night, when we chew it up and we swallow it, when we allow that word to manifest in us, when we allow it to be hidden in our heart, then when we come against obstacles, when we face challenges, then the Lord God Almighty is there to give us relief and give us peace. No matter what the problem is, no matter what the circumstance is, God is making a way. So God's method of warfare are not what we expected. Mm-hmm. So instead of a battle, he sent us the Prince of Peace. You know, hallelujah. We're born into a war, and God thought enough to send his only begotten son. And let me read the scriptures. Isaiah 9:6, it reads, For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. I want to know if y'all shouting already. Hallelujah. Praise God. When I think of this word, when I think about what he's saying in this word, it's just good. It's just good. Hallelujah. Jesus' goal in coming to earth was more than simply to ease hostilities. He came to bring about a full and abiding relationship of restoration and love. The cost of this peace was his life, Isaiah 53 and 5. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of his peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we healed. A lot of times we just say, with his stripes, we're healed. We just get the back verse, you know, by his stripes, we're healed. When we're dealing with sicknesses, when we're dealing with issues, when we're dealing with illnesses in our bodies. Hallelujah, praise God. But the first part it says, but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. Meaning that God took the pains, God took the sufferings, so that we can walk in a state of tranquil, a state of peace, a state of rest. You know, it's no rest like the rest that God gives you, that peace that passes all understanding. So when people see you going through trials and tribulations, but you walking in peace, you walking in a state of mind that is calm, a state of mind that's undisturbed, a state of mind that's not anxious, but you walking in a way that is calm, peaceful, and at ease. Hallelujah. Your blood pressure ain't raised because you anxious and you worried, but it's calm. It's where it's supposed to be. Because when you anxious, there's so many things that goes on in your body when you're anxious. The blood pressure, all these things work. There is an emotion, a emotional response in our body that produces reactions to different stimuli that comes in. And I know I've talked about the amygdala, which is that little almond-shaped part in your body that responds to stimuli coming in, whether you're going to flight or fight or fight or flight. It gets you ready to move, and it cuts off everything else that you're supposed to be doing in this body. So it tells the other portion of your brain, look, I need blood flowing really quickly, really fast, because we've got to either fight or flight. We've got to move, and we've got to move quickly. Which creates a sense of anxiousness. Hallelujah. So, Matthew 5 and 9 reads, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. So, you know, we ain't trying to fight. We're trying to be peaceable. We're trying to live peaceable with everybody. But you know, the Lord said, vengeance is mine, said the Lord. And then there are times when we just have to speak truth, but we do it in love, and God surround us. Just as we can't force another to be at peace with us, even Jesus' sacrifice on the cross did not ensure that we would accept his terms of peace. And we can see that in Romans chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. There is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God. None of us can accept Jesus' offer of peace through our own will and power. Our natural selves don't want it. You know, I talked about the fact that we're at war. So when we look at peaks, when we look at our own body, you know, we made in the image of God, a body, soul, and spirit. So when we look at the sin that has happened, when we, our own body, that peace that you would normally say that you would think in your own mind, or that you think that, and we're trying to work it out ourselves. We're trying to work the problems out. We're trying to have peace ourselves, and we can't do it with our own accord. And that's all the word is saying. It says you can't have peace of your own accord. You can't do it yourself. That's why it's a gift of the Spirit. It's a gift of God's Spirit. Only God can lead us to want peace with Him. The Holy Spirit leads us to want Jesus and His message. Once the Spirit draws us, we believe in Jesus, and the peace comes. Since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5:1. However, the fruit of the Spirit includes a peace that goes beyond that of salvation. It is a sweet relationship. We are called to His presence. Ephesians 2:11-18. Oneness in peace in Christ. Don't forget that ye Gentiles used to be outsiders. You were called uncircumcised heathens by the Jews, who were proud of their circumcision, even though it affected only their bodies, not their heart. In those days, you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel, and you did not know the covenant promise God has made to them. You lived in this world without God and without hope, but now you have been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now that you have been brought near to Him through the blood of Christ, for Christ Himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into our people, into one people, when in His own body on the cross. He broke down the walls of hostility and that separated us. He did this by ending the system of law with its commandments and regulations. He made peace between Jews and Gentiles by creating in Himself one new people from the two groups. Together as one body, Christ reconcile both groups to God by means of His death on the cross. Our own hostility toward each other was put to death. He brought this good news of peace to you Gentiles who were far away from Him, and peace to the Jews who were near. Now all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us, and called to be confident in the presence. Hallelujah. So when we also, another scripture, Hebrews, and I'm reading in the scriptures, Hebrews 4:16 read, Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in times of need. Because we are His friends. And these are things, this is the reason why we have peace. This is the reason why we can sit calmly in a tranquil, and when people are going through around us and they see, girl, I don't know how you have done it. I don't know how you can. But it's because of God's peace. It's because God is moving in us. It's because Christ died on the cross, and because the Holy Spirit dwells in us, because we are His friends. Because we are His friends, we can walk We know that the peace of God is given to us. And this is John 15:15. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I call you friends, for all things that I've heard of my Father I have made known unto you. As Isaiah 26:3 says, the sacrifice of mine, steadfast of mine, you will keep in perfect peace because you trust in you. God's peace transcends earthly matters. As Philippians chapter 4, verses 4-7 illustrates, believers are to be anxious for nothing, for God promised to guard your heart and mind. It is a peace which transcends all understanding. That is, to the worldly mind, such peace is incomprehensible. It is the source that the Holy Spirit of God, whom the world never seen nor knows. So it is the Holy Spirit. It is from the Spirit of God in which we have this resource. And let's read it, shall we? John 14:17, it says, He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. So the later, saints, is now. Hallelujah. The later is now. The Holy Spirit has come on the scene in Acts, and the Holy Spirit is now dwelling on the inside of us, and we have the Spirit of God that keeps us, the Spirit of God that helps to create, and it creates, it helps, it is. It's the creation of peace. Now, the Spirit-filled Christian has a peace that is abundant, available in every situation and unlike anything that the world has to offer. And I'm going to give you scripture to back it up. I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. I know we are living in the government is opening up, and if you're living in Illinois, certainly Illinois is slow to be opening up, and I thank God they're using wisdom, and the churches are slow to be opening up. They're using wisdom, and certainly we are to use wisdom. We are not to walk in fear. We are to be at peace, to know that God is able to heal, to cover, as he said he would. So even in the midst of a civil uneasiness, even in the midst of still a coronavirus, even in the midst of various states that seem to have a uprise on this virus, and the scientists are saying that there is another outbreak coming, but we know that the peace of God that gives us tranquil, that sustains us, we are not to walk in fear, but we are to walk in faith, knowing that God will provide for our needs. The scripture here is saying, don't be troubled or afraid. So we are not to be troubled or afraid of corona, of civil uneasiness. If we look at our ancestors, if we look at our history, if we look at what we've been through, God has seen us through. You know, I like the young people saying, we're going to be all right. And that is so true. We're going to be all right. Why? Because we as a people have always been able to cling to a strength that people don't understand. That strength is in God. That strength is in the Creator that has created us, that has created the world, that has sent his Son to die for us. Hallelujah. That person we depend on, none other than the form of Jesus Christ. And he sent us a comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, which operates these gifts in us. Hebrews 12, 11, and 14 reads, hallelujah. Now, no chastening for the present seems to be joyful, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yields peaceable fruits of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up your hands which hang down, and feeble knees, and make straight the path for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men, and holiness without no man shall see the Lord. James 3:17-18. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure, it is also peace, loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and the fruits of good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. And I want to read this verse, and this is 1 Peter 3, and I'm almost through, and we're going to pray. 1 Peter 3, 10, verses 10 through 12. For let him who wants to enjoy life, and this is the Amplified version. For let him who wants to enjoy life and see good days, good weather, apparent or not, keep his tongue free from evil and his lips from guile, deceit. Let him turn away from wickedness and shun it, and let him do right. Let him search for peace, undisturbance from fear, agitating passions and moral conflicts, harmony. And seek it earnestly. Do not merely desire peaceful relations with God, with your fellow men, and with yourself, and pursue it. Go after them. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, those who are upright and in right standing with God, and his ears are attentive to the prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who practice evil, to oppose them, to frustrate them, and to defeat them. So even in the midst of walking with this peace, even in the midst of civil disturbance, we thank God that we have the peace God gives us through the Holy Spirit. And we can walk in the various situations that we face with God's peace, with his wisdom, with his anointing, and with the Holy Spirit that guides us, that peace which passes all understanding, that peace that the Holy Spirit gives, that peace in the midst of civil unrest, that peace in the midst of trials and tribulation, that peace in the midst of not knowing what we're going to do, but we're trusting in the Lord, and we know that God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly. We don't have to have our heads hung down. We don't have to walk being fearful, because the joy of the Lord, again, is our strength that I talked about. And then there is the peace. You know, when you put joy and peace together, joy and peace, meaning that I push in for my joy. I push in to praise and worship the Lord. When I push in and praise and worship the Lord, then there is a peace that I can experience, because I'm pushing in to give time with the Lord, because I'm rejoicing in the Lord. I'm allowing that fruit of the Spirit to manifest itself in me. I'm allowing that fruit to show up and to show out. I'm allowing that fruit to move in me. I'm allowing the Holy Spirit to give free rein to those fruits. And because it's been manifested, I walk differently from the world. I walk differently from those that seem to can't go to sleep at night. But I sleep at night because I cast all my cares upon him because he cares. He said, take my yoke upon thee and learn of me. When I learn of the Lord, when I pray and when I seek God, when I seek him with everything I have, he provides for me. He gives me a peace in the midst of problems. He gives me a peace to go through my trials and tribulations. He gives me a peace that others don't understand. You're dealing with this sickness, but you seem to be at peace. What is your method? What is your story? What is it? And you can tell them, my story is the Lord who gives me peace, and I rejoice in him who provides for my needs. Hallelujah. I magnify the Lord. I give praise to him. I worship a living God, and I allow the word to be manifested in my life. And that manifestation are the fruits. That manifestation is love. When there is people that don't treat me right, I'm walking in love. When Satan wants me to be sad, I'm rejoicing in the Lord. When he wants me to be anxious, I find peace because the Spirit of the Lord provides those things for me. And I don't look on what I'm going through, but I help others in the midst of trials and tribulation. Hallelujah, because we're servants. We're called to represent the Lord. We are ambassadors for Christ. We are to look and to serve and to serve and to tell this dying world what they need to do in order to be saved. We got a young generation out there protesting, but they also need to be taught, trained, and understand who God is. We've gone through over 400 years of oppression, and look like society seems to find every way to put or enslave our people. But God is moving. God is providing. And God is hearing the cries of the righteous. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you. I worship you and I magnify you. I thank you for those that have sacrificed their day to be on this blog on this morning. You have graciously allowed them to be here. I thank you for each and every one. I pray, God, that you'll give them the understanding of how to walk and how to walk in the manifestations of the fruit. I pray, God, that you give them an anointing, a wisdom, God, that they never had before. I pray, God, that even in trials and tribulations, even in the midst of uncivil uneasiness, that you give them a peace that they say, God did it. God has given me this. Because if it had not been for the Lord on my side, girl, I don't know, or sir, I don't know what I would have, where I've been. But because of Christ, because of that relationship, because of the fruits of the Spirit worketh in me, I thank God for the peace. And certainly we want to pray right now, God, the peace. God, as this world is uneasy, I pray, God, for peace. But I pray, God, that you will speak truth to power, meaning that those that have been mistreating and mistreating us and not providing justice for your people, God, I pray, God, that you'll move it like never before. God, you know how to disturb. You know how to move. You know how to shake things up. And I believe you're shaking things up now with this coronavirus, with this young man that's being shot, and the African-Americans that are continuing to be victimized by the police. But I pray, God, that the African-American community will come together and connect like never before, God. Bring us together, God. Give us to understand how to treat one another. And, Father God, we continue to bless your name, Father God. We thank you, God, for this blog. We thank you, God, again, for those that are on this blog. And we pray, God, in the name of Jesus, that if anybody that's not saved, that will hear this blog, Father. I pray, God, that they will repent of their sins and they will accept you as their personal Savior and say, I repent and I accept you in Jesus' name. We pray and thank you, Lord. Amen. Again, I want to thank each and every one of you for being on the line and taking up your time to be with me on today. I see you on next week. God bless.